Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 534. Science Faction, ask Bobby an ungoogleable question.
This is the one I've been waiting for.
Yeah, Damien, you asked for this specifically. You said this is one of your favorite old ones. I actually really like this one too. And we had a fan who didn't actually ask us necessarily to do this as ask Bobby an ungoogleable question. They just asked this question. And I thought, man, that's a fucking good question we should talk about.
And I thought, it's ungoogleable because we haven't listed it, but the answer is 3 inches. And it's technically not Googleable, but I wouldn't lie about this.
There is a lot of technically not Googleable questions. Like, for instance, if they were like, show us a great child porn site. Technically, Google will not do that for you. That is technically an ungoogleable question.
Google dark web, which is a real thing.
Speaking of real thing, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. And real thing, that sounds like something an AI would say, Bobby.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you a science education AI? Let's see if you can pass the Turing test.
I feel like maybe Ask Bobby an Ungoogleable Question was a website made up by some Russians that's run by an AI bot to trick people into thinking I'm real. And so this entire bit is done by that bot that is using voice processing software. And all of Ask Bobby an Ungoogleable Question is indeed a non-human AI entity.
Quick, somebody ask him to define love. It's the only thing that can beat him now.
It's how I feel about trains. The rules of this are pretty simple. We have our fans ask a question that is ungoogleable, meaning you couldn't just type it into Google, and I do my best to answer it. We've actually had some really interesting ones along the way, and we're bringing this one back. I actually think this is one of the few ones that I haven't spent the time doing like a musical intro for, so you're not gonna hear a cool intro. But this was one, as I just mentioned to Damien, that didn't necessarily come to us from somebody saying, hey, would you do this as an ungoogleable question? They just asked us on our Facebook page. So the question is basically this, and I paraphrased it a little bit to make it a better ungoogleable question, but so if the BC and AD timescale has overtly religious connotations, what time scale can we use or create as a more human universal outside of these religious or specifically ethnic connotations?
Go from the BC timescale to the BBC timescale.
We would have to do a lot of very intense physical archaeology to figure out when we got some true BBCs out there.
I'm picturing Bobby showing up. He's digging in a hole. All of a sudden, he's in a tent. You know, it's night. All of a sudden, seven of his very muscular lab techs come in and surround him. Uh-oh.
How can you tell from the archaeological record? And I hold up a loincloth that droops down to the guy's knee. So they suggested, this person suggested, the advent of writing. So we would start at, like, you know, we think that's in Mesopotamia around 3200 BC. So that would become the year zero. And that would make us now at the year, you know, 5221, so to speak, something like that. So that was an interesting idea. I actually thought that was a really interesting, not only question, but proposal that they made. Should we use, like, the advent of writing?
Couldn't we use the advent of the Noid? character from Domino's Pizza.
When was that? Was that the late 80s or early 90s?
I want to say it was early 80s. Might have been like 85, 84.
Okay, so
when did people start avoiding the Noid? So that's AN.
Yeah, we're at like 36 AN.
Okay, yes. We are in the year of our Noid. AN 36.
Oh, dear, that's a great one that anybody under the age of 30 just isn't going to get, but my God, that's a fucking great joke. Yeah, indeed. So that is an interesting proposal using the advent of writing. I like it. I like it as a, like, kind of human universal and stuff. I like the idea that we would be looking for something that it's unassociated with a particular culture or history, some kind of universal acknowledgement or important human milestone, or a timeline that measures from a particular milestone, so all dates are relative to that milestone. So the first suggestion, like I said, by that poster was that we use the advent of writing, which we think is somewhere around 3200 BC. And I think that's a good suggestion. It's a good jumping off point, but I think there's a few problems with that. One, we don't have an exact date. And in this type of archaeology, it's unlikely we will, or at least we won't have for some time. We'll always get closer and closer to it. But let's say we then find out, like, you know, somebody in an Olmec civilization did it a couple thousand years beforehand or something like that. Regardless of what we find, if it gets older, then we would then either have to acknowledge that the dating scale is arbitrary and no longer connected to that human milestone, or we adjust all the dates, which just seems somewhat cumbersome. So that doesn't seem like the perfect one to do. It does seem like a good jumping off point. So I've been thinking for the past week of a few other suggestions. Now, again, I want to start because we were talking about human universals, something we could all relate to, something that wasn't culturally or ethnically specific or and religiously specific. We could do something big like the evolution of Homo sapiens. You know, you could do the date. This would be, you know, 300,021 AE after evolution. Now, we have a few problems. One is the same as number two from before. We could find evidence that we only recently found evidence that put Homo sapiens back from our oldest, which we knew as the Omo fossil at 180,000 years ago, to a fossil in Morocco 300,000 years ago. So if we find that, again, it fucks up our dating scale. The other one is that it's just kind of too long a dating scale because the year 301,720 AE and 301,060 AE does not seem to fittingly convey the difference between now and the end of the Dark Ages.
Well, you know, considering that our current time scale is based off an event that never actually happened.
Sure, we don't have good evidence to think happened.
So, you know, this is actually, we know that humans did evolve. This is yes. Based off a real event. Yeah, the date is a little off.
Yeah, we don't know when the date would be. It could always be pushed back sometime. And again, my main issue with this isn't even necessarily that. I actually think it might be a good idea, even if we were to think of approximation. Because again, a species concept gradually changes over time. It's not like this species would just jump into existence at any one time. It's all a gradual thing. But the real big issue is, again, if we're saying 301060 and 301720, that doesn't seem like it was 700 years ago, but it was.
But here's the thing. It's super exciting for those of us who are sci-fi fans because it sounds like we're living in like the distant future, like
That's
Star
true.
Trek future.
That's true.
In fact, we're living in the crazy distant future in the episodes of Star Trek that are already taking place in our extreme future.
That's right. All right. So the second one I thought of was, what about the human dispersal from Africa? We call that AD to use the same nomenclature, but it'd be after diaspora. And that happened about 70,000 years ago. Again, it's similar objections. We have that narrowed down a little bit better because of genetics to 70-some-odd thousand years ago, but that could still fluctuate a little bit here or there. But the main issue is, again, the difference between 70,000 AD and 70,600 AD does not properly convey the difference in historical times between now and the 1400s.
Maybe we do it at the start of the first, whatever we consider the first civilization was, they started the timer on it. Whatever yeah. it was, they're the ones who hit the clock. So who would that be? Would that be, we're talking...
You know, yeah, that would actually probably be similar. It depends how you want to define civilization, but you might call that the Mesopotamian civilizations. You might call that some of the stuff going on in the New World. You might call it some of the ancient Chinese stuff. All of those are kind of... contenders.
Let's just say it was Jesus.
Yeah,
let's just exactly. say it was...
Back to BC. So one idea that I thought of that I actually kind of really like... It is one that I've been thinking a lot about. And I mean, I probably think about this idea daily since I learned and talked about it for an episode we did here only a few months ago, which is the human genetic isopoint and the most recent common ancestor. So the most recent common ancestor is kind of an easier one. We'll start with that one. It's a more easily understood concept. It's the last time all humans on Earth shared a common ancestor, which we believe was somewhere between 1400 BC and 55 AD. And you might go like, well, what about Native Americans and stuff? Well, the reality is there's so much interbreeding, over the last 500 years of contact that any given Native American will have some European ancestry. And that one European is related to all other Europeans, which is related to all other Old World people. So it basically balances out to around that timeline. Again, we can't narrow that down enough, but I like that. I like that as one possibility because it's a human universal. There's also a problem that changes over time, not because we would find a new one, but because as we all get more and more closely related and interbreed more and more, the last universal common ancestor gets closer and closer to us. There's also the idea that I've really been thinking about for a long time since we've talked about it. It's something I literally like stay abed at thinking about at night, which is the human genetic isopoint, which is a bit more complicated a concept, but in my mind is somewhat more important. And that's the point where every person alive on Earth at that time, which we believe to be about 5,000 years ago, every person alive on Earth at that time is either the ancestor of everyone currently living or no one, meaning they don't have any descendants that made it down to our time, or they are the ancestor of every single human being on Earth. This is a hard concept to get your head around, but it's really interesting.
That's the point by which in time by which you can't kill anybody past that point, because you will guaranteed unmake your existence. You have to kill somebody before that point in time. And you still have a chance you might unmake your existence. No,
it would have to be after that point in time. If you hit that point or before in time, you would definitely impact your own existence. So first of all, I should expand on this when I said 5,000. It's actually between 2200 BC and about 5500 BC. So 5 is a little bit of an average in between there. But it's a very interesting concept. So what that means is that if you find any human being running around, let's use the farthest extent, beyond 5500 BC, any human running around, if they have ancestors alive today, if anybody, any of their children bred with children, blah, 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 and they have somebody alive today that is their descendant, then every human on Earth is their descendant. That's hard to conceptualize until you start thinking of like the web of ancestors that you have. You realize that as you go further, further back in time, everybody is so interrelated because every generation, you double the amount of ancestors you have. You know, you have two parents, you have four grandparents, you have eight great grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. And at some point, not too many generations back, you get to like 8 billion people. And there aren't 8 billion people on the planet at that time. And so the reality of the situation is your great-great-great-grandfather is also your great-great-great-uncle and blah, 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 because of all of those interlinking connections. Because of that, when you go back far enough, if you get to any one person, they are related to everybody. Their genes have been able to kind of pachinko game their way down through every single one of those branches to make it down to be related to every single person. And that's why, you know, the example we used is for European populations, if you do the demographics of European populations and you do the math on it and the size of it and the timeline and the fecundancy and everything, you realize that that genetic isopoint for all Europeans is about 1,000 years ago, which means if you have any European DNA, if you are me, if you are Damien, if you are out there with blue eyes, if you're out there and you have any ancestors that are European, you are, by definition, a direct descendant of Charlemagne, who lived over 1,000 years ago.
I remember when we first talked about that episode, I believe we made fun of a caveman who was Encino Man, and he was the only person in Europe who wasn't related to Charlemagne, and we acted like we were so
that
much
would be
better.
True.
But also, I've heard you give this speech before, but it was very different. It was to Marty McFly after his mom had just hit on him. And you're like, listen, man, there's a certain point where you go back in time and you're fucking a family member no matter what. And that's all I'm saying, Marty.
That's why the ethics of time travel are like you never kill any of your relatives and you don't fuck anybody.
Listen, the thing is, Marty, you know, I do it. I've seen that actress, her name escapes me right now. This is the 80s. She keeps it tight. You're getting her into prime, man. I'm sorry that you got to know her. You ruined her.
Think about what this means, by the way. This means that, like, if, for instance, we find a skeleton of a Native American from 10,000 years ago, which we have all around us here, that skeleton, it is possible that that individual's lineage died out or that individual didn't have any children or anything. But if they did and they have living relatives, then you and I are their relatives, Damien. We are their descendants. Because somewhere down the line, 400 years ago, you know, one of their descendants mated with one of our ancestors and blah, 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 and it made its way down. It's just really, really interesting concept. I still want to see some more verification of it, some more studies on it. But ever since I've learned about it, I have thought about it nonstop. I think either of those concepts, the last common ancestor or the human genetic isopoint, would be great time markers because they represent literally the unity of all living human beings. There are some problems with it, however. We don't know what these numbers are exactly, and they're subject to change as population demographics change. For instance, the last common ancestor between all people, like I said, is somewhere between 55 AD and 1500 BC. But if all people on Earth, except me, my brother, and sister, get killed, well, then the last common ancestor between everybody on Earth is my parents, right? So, like, these can change as demographics change over
actually,
time.
Bobby, your parents have something they want to talk to you about.
I would be so relieved.
Your brother and sister have a common ancestor.
And the more we intermingle, the more these things get closer and closer and stuff. So they're not necessarily solid in time. They would also be somewhat arbitrary in terms of exactly what date we selected and based on the existing population we have right now. I can't really make this work perfectly, but in my heart, I feel this would be the best marker as it represents like a human universal and a sign of worldwide unity. I think that would be the greatest date thing to go off of. And if you're using last common ancestor, it might not be that far off from our current dating scale. So like, you know, like I said, we don't want to be doing the year 300,655, but if the year just turns to like 2430, that's fine. Like, we can deal with that.
Are you kidding? Like, immediately we would get a science fiction name like Science Faction 44K. Like in the year 44,000, the war on science has corrupted the government. And by the way, all of this, true. Your average citizen does not know what is true and what is not. Only one podcast stands up for what is true.
So another thing you consider is like, well, what about a human universal? What's something that we could say is universal to all humans? What changed the world? And that's kind of hard to think about.
Hatred of yellow starburst.
Well, yellow starburst is fine. It's not the best. Nobody's calling it
you
the best.
You piece of shit. It you know what? Fine. We're done. It We're done. Fine. I'm all taking off my headset.
All of the original flavors are fine. They are all good.
I am Donald Trump walking out of an interview
there
right now.
There is no black licorice in that package. And one of the universals that is certainly true would be the first detonation of a nuclear weapon. You know, if we look at the first detonation of a nuclear weapon, not only did that change the world, not only does that put that in perpetual fear, it changes our energy policy, our war policy, it changes the way our modern society works, but it also permanently changed the Earth. If every human being was wiped out, and somehow all of the evidence of our civilizations was wiped out, et cetera, aliens coming millions of years from now could still test the isotope analysis of the atmosphere and tell that we discovered and detonated nuclear weapons in the early 1940s. Like, that is something that will be permanently changed in terms of the Earth. We can tell whether or not books were printed before 1944 or not because trees...
They were burned by Nazis.
No, but trees that were grown after that time absorb, obviously, like carbon and elements from the atmosphere, and those will be forever changed by the radiometric differences of the explosion of nuclear weapons. Like, fucking trees growing in the taiga and near the Arctic Circle will forever be changed by the atmospheric differences that started when we started detonating nuclear weapons. And so there's a difference between the paper in books that were made before the 1940s and after, because forever on, this will have changed the Earth. So the Earth is forever changed. That might be one. It seems kind of like a downer, I guess. Like, it's, I don't know, it's like we're counting from the time that they got the ring from Mount Doom. Like, I don't, it just doesn't seem like a great idea, but it certainly would be a human and worldwide universal. So also, while looking at this, I thought there actually kind of is something that already exists in this way where we kind of restarted the dating system. And do you know where it came from, Damien?
eHarmony.
No gays, though. No. No, it actually came from archaeology. So this got... This changed in starting in the 1950s when archaeologists started doing radiometric dating. And we realized we needed to come up with a present, right? Because what they were doing is dating before present. And if you're doing that in the early days of radiometric dating in the 1950s, well, if you're doing one date in 1951 and one date in 1958, and you're saying this piece of carbon is so many years before present, if you're just measuring from that date every time, well, then that's going to change constantly. So what they did is basically create a new dating system based on 1950. So when you see an archaeology date that says something, something BP, it doesn't mean before 2020. Even though it says
British Petroleum.
No, even though it says before present, it doesn't mean before 2020. It means before 1950.
I have learned so many things on Science Faction that I remember that was something you educated, like back when Jackie was on the show.
Yeah.
Wow. The things you forget.
That's a dating scale we actually already have. We could start using that. We could start using BP, before present, and use 1950. Right now, hey, Damien, how do you like the year 71? 71 AP.
Great year. Not the pre-AIDS.
What?
71. I thought we were talking. I thought we were changing BP to 71.
No, it's 71 now because it's 71 years after 1950. So this year is the year 71.
Oh, you know, it's just it's coming off a bad year. Any number is going to look bad coming off 2020.
The year 70 AP will go down. It's a very, very bad year.
Nobody will know what you're talking about when you say it, but...
So that is my answer. My answer is, my wish we could do the human genetic iso point, but we can't really, or maybe even the last common ancestor of all humans, but we can't really. Just we couldn't feasibly do it. Maybe we can make an arbitrary one and jump from there. But my answer would be to this listener that we kind of already have one. And that is 1950. It's the BP timescale. And we can start using, you know, this is 71 AP or RCA, I called it, which is radiocarbon era. We could start doing it that way. Either that or we could just adopt star dates, which could be counted from like the date of the first person to be sent in space, which is a known date. That would be an interesting one. Or the landing on the moon. Or, of course, the founding of Space Force in December of 2019.
By the way, if we do end up at some point finding the political will to reassess, I guess, where we start our time scale, can we call this metric time?
Standard American English time?
It's a more science-based time.
Okay, I like that.
I'm not going to say we rewrite everything. It's not going to be 10 hours in a day.
Yeah. And instead of like a leap day, you know how we have the leap day every 4 years? That's actually Purge Day, and we adopt the Purge, but it's only one day every 4 years because we don't want to be fucking crazy.
It just makes sense mathematically to do it this way.
There were so many loopholes in that movie series, which, by the way, became incredibly popular, that Purge series, where it's like all crime is legal for one day. And it's like, why isn't everybody doing their taxes that day and then turning them in with massive fraud? Like, why isn't everybody? Everybody would be doing all the white collar crime on that day, you know, reporting false incomes and your taxes and like selling drugs and stuff. Like, wait, that's everybody jumping to murder.
Why can't somebody give me actionable information that I can abuse for insider trading? I need it today. Like, I have to buy and sell today, please.
Yeah, exactly. The head of every pharma industry is like optioning products that they realize aren't doing well in test runs. Yeah, exactly. Like, none of the crimes on the Purge are the crimes that the Purge would really be for. Everybody would be doing that. You'd be saving up your crimes too for that day, just getting ready to offload them. Like, there'd be a lot of revenge porn posted on that day.
sorry I killed your father yesterday, Stevie. It was the Purge.
You better not have a pay-per-view on Purge Day because everybody is going to stream it free, like every person on Earth.
I mean, honestly, how many people does it just become a tit-for-tat? Like, I spent all year stewing. Yeah, guess what? The Timothy clan?
Yeah.
Well, they killed my dog last year in the Purge, so...
Yeah, there does seem to be there'd be a lot of vengeance. I was flabbergasted at that concept because when I first saw it, my first attitude when they're like, all crime is legal, and I was like, sweet, I'm that's the day I'm reporting my taxes. I'm absolutely reporting zero income and like none of the things that they talk. I don't want to attach a 50 cal to the back of a tractor trailer and start mowing down civilians in the middle of the street. I don't
want
to do
any
of that.
I want you to want to do it.
I want to push my permits through the county office while not getting the proper inspections. Like, that's what I'm going for.
I want to secede. That's what I want.
All right. Well, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 534, where you heard all about my ungoogleable question. By the way, if you would like to try and propose an ungoogleable question, we will open that up to our Patreons pretty soon. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 535.
It's Purge Day. I can do anything I want. Looks like I'm going to let my dog take a dump, and I'm not going to pick it up. Actually, I live here. I'm going to pick it up. It's Purge Day. It's not Tuesday in Alabama.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.